Thank you, ladies, for that. Thank you for all that's been done this morning already. Go ahead and take your Bible, starting to Psalm 113 this morning. Psalm 113. Again, I appreciate you. I appreciate Brother Casillas. Fantastic message, right? On the money, on what we were looking for as far as overcoming in the Lord. And it's such a thing to overcome as that is dealing with miscarriage, loss of children. Just fantastic. And the messages last night as well, Brother Sam's message last night as well, just right where we need to be, right in faith. Amen. Faith to overcome. The only way you're going to overcome the kind of things that Brother Casillas was talking about is through faith. It's the only way you're going to do it. Got to have faith in God. This morning we're going to be in the 113th Psalm and look in verse number 1 where God's word says this. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. We're going to talk for a moment about this idea this morning. The prayer of a couple desiring God's will. The prayer of a couple desiring God's will. I'm going to ask Brother Tim Caudill if he would lead us in prayer this morning.
Father, we come before you this morning. We're thankful already for what's been accomplished, for the word that's been preached. And I pray now that as we approach this passage, that we would approach it with an open heart. Pastor Teeter, as he brings the message for this morning, thank you for this opportunity once again to be in your house, to hear the preaching of your word. And we ask these things in your precious, holy, and wonderful name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for every purpose of God's word. You may be seated. One of the hardest parts about waiting for a child is the constant nature of waiting. It never goes away. The pressure, the mentality, the thought of it never goes away. Every child you see is a reminder of what you don't have. Every one of them, every baby shower, every what has become reveal parties, which don't get me started. All those things that begin are just a reminder of what you don't have, of what is in your heart, what's in your desire to have, of the loss in your life of what you feel. Excuse me. I've heard the term used, and it's not my term. I've heard the term of those dealing or waiting for God to move as the baby blues. You go through the baby blues of waiting for the child that you would have to have. And my wife and I went through this time of waiting, and where you just wondered, is this ever going to happen? Is this ever going to be what we get? And by the time our twins were born, if you get this mentality of where you are, when you wait 18 years for things, that's a little bit of time. By the time our twins were born, my nieces both had children of their own. So my sister's children already had children of their own. Children that we taught in Sunday school at 6, 7 years old now had children of their own. Looking around going, okay, God, I get it. We're waiting. Okay, we're done. Okay, we're done waiting. You know, while none of the waiting of itself is overwhelming, the totality of the waiting is the problem. It's not any one given thing that will crush you. Okay, it's not any one thing of the waiting that will overwhelm you. It's not one baby shower. It's not one reveal party. It's not one thing and that becomes the issue that overwhelms you. It's not one waiting or one moment. It's none of those things. It's just the totality of the waiting that weighs over you over time of desiring something so much and not being able to see a resolution to that which you desire. That becomes the problem. It's almost as the weight just begins over time, just begins weighing upon you more and more and more. As we've already heard this morning, as men, we are programmed to fix problems. That's just what we do. This is problematic when you are dealing with something that you have no power to fix. You have no way to fix these things. You have no way to give your wife the answer that she desires to have. When you watch the woman you love deal with a heartache of which you have no avenue to offer any, come on, no, not to fix the problem. You can't even offer a solution to the problem. We should do this. You come to the place where you just have no solution to say, which way do we go? You're looking around going, I don't even know where to go. Where do I begin with this? Where do I begin with this problem? This wasn't even a problem I saw coming, and now I can't even see a solution to the problem that I have put in front of me. Come on, that becomes the time when you become, as we've seen so well today, overwhelming to us. And this morning I want us to see where our prayer life, my wife and I's prayer life, was going to take us. You know, throughout God's word, we find the comfort of God in all areas of our lives. It's that we have an amazing book given to us in the Bible, and the fact that it gives you the solution to every single problem you will ever endure is right here. And we find those dealing with the same things that we dealt with, or we find the solution in some way in this book that's given to us, finished some 2,000 years ago, but still solving every problem we have in the 21st century. Just amazing, isn't it? That we have that God can give us those kind of things. So to overlook that and think that God doesn't understand what we are dealing with, come on, is very high-minded of myself. To think that God doesn't understand what I'm going through. God isn't touched by the infirmities that I'm dealing with. You know, in this time of waiting, our focus, first and foremost, must be on the Lord. Our lives are to be lived humbly before the Lord, including in waiting. And in this psalm this morning, we find a truth about waiting. That in the midst of waiting, we are to live a life that is praising to God. That we're supposed to praise the God the entire time I'm waiting, because my entire life is built on praising Him. So through the waiting period, I praise Him. Now, there is nothing praiseworthy about waiting itself. I'll say amen. There's no way. I don't praise God about waiting. I don't praise God about traffic. I don't praise God about waiting in line at any store. I do everything online because I can't stand going to the store. If I go out to eat somewhere, which we do very rarely, it's ordered before and we take it home because I cannot stand waiting. It's just not in my DNA to do it. It's probably because I don't do it enough. So when I have to do it, it's like pins and needles for me. It's like somebody scratching on a chalkboard. I cannot stand it to wait. I will remove every obstacle of waiting I possibly can. But you know, in the waiting process, when you're talking about God, there's so much praising we can do in it. There's so much praise to gain the understanding that the God of heaven is always there. You understand, the only way you get that understanding is if you have to be given that understanding that God is there. You have to be put in a position where you have to recognize that God is there. If God just gave us everything and He just put it all out there for us, we never had any struggles, any trials, any problems, would we know there's a God there? Would we know He was there at all? Because this is the issue. We don't praise Him through the good times. That's terrible of us, but we don't. We don't praise Him through the good times. We might at the beginning, the only reason we praise God for the good times is because we just came out of a bad time. So then we praise Him, thank you, Lord, for the good time. And then when that lasts too long, we forget about the bad times and we don't praise Him as we should. The psalmist here is dealing with this thing of praising our God, this place of finding our humility in these things. We find the humility that we're supposed to have. Come on, we find the humility we are supposed to have. Please get this morning or you're going to miss the message. We find the humility we are supposed to have by the humility of God. So God's not humble. Oh, yes, He is. Look in verse number 6. Who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He has to humble Himself to look down on me because He's God. Amen. We learn humility from Him. We learn humility from Him from the mindset that God would even look down on me. How dare I think or have the high-minded that God should look upon me? I should be humbled by the truth that God would look down upon me because I'm so humble that He would even dare to do it. How dare I think God should just listen to me? How dare I think God should just hear my prayer? How dare I say, God, I can't believe You would have me wait. How dare I say, God, I can't believe You're not doing this in my life. How dare I think that? When God is humbly looking down upon me going, I'm doing everything for You. This is for You. You're waiting for me. You're in this for me, not you. God, why would You make me go through this? You're going through this for my honor and glory. And You can praise me through it. The only reason you're not praising me is because you're not doing it correctly. Well, come on. Because we can praise Him through anything we endure. We can praise Him if we're doing it correctly. I love that desire because that teaches us. It is humbling knowing that God would humble Himself to see the desires to aid in our needs. He looks down upon us and sees and knows the struggles we endure. He knows those. He carries our burdens for us, or is willing to carry them for us. We will allow him to. He will carry the burdens. So this morning we want to see a few things. And the first one we see is this: the troubling times of our prayer life. Again, we're getting to this point. We want to build this thing. I want to share with you today where my wife and I came from in getting to the place where we could pray to God in a real fashion to get through the things that we were dealing with, and how God has brought us to that place of praying to him. The troubling times of our prayer life. The first thing we see this morning is the constant reminder of what we do not have. Look over in Proverbs chapter 30. In Proverbs chapter 30. There, when you're going through infertility or you're waiting on God in any way, many times there's a constant reminder of what you do not have. It's just a reminder of those things. You're looking for what you want. You're looking for the desire. You're looking for those things and you don't have it. And you can begin to question those things. Well, God, why wouldn't you do this? Come on, you begin to build the mentality, God, why don't you want to do this? Then you can begin to build the mentality of, well, God, no one understands what I'm going through. Oh, come on. We almost get to the place where we think, well, God doesn't even care or know what I'm going through. We almost build that. Come on, that's a complete lack of humility, friends, to think that I'm the one going through this and no one else has. That's lack of humility to think that way. Look in verse number 15 here of Proverbs chapter 30. Look in verse number 15. Look down there about the middle of the verse there. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say it is enough: the grave and the barren womb. So we see this constant reminder that, hey, you know what? Maybe God does know a little bit about this. Maybe God does realize that when a woman or a couple is waiting for a desire of their heart, you know, God kind of does know the infirmities that I'm going through. Because he says there are things in this world that are so difficult to overcome, and one of those is the barren womb. One of those is the woman who can't have the children she so desperately desires. One of those is a man who can't have the children he desires to raise in the next generation. And God says, no, I see you. Come on, I see you. Humbly I look down and look upon you, and I'm moved by that infirmity because I know how difficult it is for you to deal with. Do you realize that this morning? God knows how difficult it is because he can see it. He can feel it with us. Whereas his children, you know, when my children are hurting, my heart goes out to them. Many times not the same way my wife does, but my heart goes out to them. Get up, boy. Brush yourself off. You'll be all right. My daughter hurts herself. It's like, oh, come here, baby. Come on. Boy, get up. Stop crying, little baby. Get up. Deal with it differently, amen? That's all right. It needs to be tough. That's what he needs. You know, the trouble of not knowing why or the reason for troubles is there. The one thing we must do, no matter what we're doing, Brother Stan did a great job of talking about doctors last night and the things that they went through. The number one thing you want to do as you're dealing with infertility or dealing with waiting on God is never take your eyes off God for something else. If you're going to go to the doctors, you're the doctors. Don't take your eyes off God and look at the doctors and think they have the answer. Don't take your eyes off God and think, well, we can just do this and this and this and think that's going to be the answer. Our eyes must firmly stay upon God and upon him because he is the one who has the solution. Turn back over to Genesis chapter 16. Brother Sam did a great job at delving into this. I just want to make one point out of this, and we'll move on from these things. How Abraham and Sarah took their eyes off of God. You know, don't separate from him because the answer is not seen. Again, we're looking for solutions here. We men want to solve the problem. Ladies, you want problems solved for you. You want this problem solved. And the real problem comes when we can't see a solution. When we look at it and say, there is no solution here anymore, we've got to figure something out. And that's certainly the place that Abraham and Sarah came to in this moment, where Abraham and Sarah at this moment come to. Look what it says in verse number 1. We'll just read the text here to make this one point. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I'm in verse number chapter 15. Hey, let's go to chapter 16. That looks better. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Abram's wife took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptians, after Abram dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, and Abram to be his wife. And he went unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said to him, "What? My wrong is upon me. I have given my maid unto thy bosom." And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. This is the only point I want to make out of that. Abraham conceiving a child with Hagar was confirmation that Sarai was barren. This was complete confirmation at this moment. Come on, at this moment, there were no fertility doctors to go to. There was nobody to go see to say what was wrong. Because they couldn't walk into the clinic and say, let's figure out what's wrong here. The moment Hagar conceived was with child, at that moment, she knew the problems with me. Come on, you understand there are two parts to the conception of a child, right? And men and women can both have issues, okay? This is one of those things where men don't let your wives only carry the burden here. So this can be on you as well. So go carry that burden as well. But at this moment, Sarai confirmed that she was barren. Abraham and Sarai took their eyes off God, even for just a moment, and said, let's come up with our own solution. Now imagine the heart of Sarai as she watched Hagar conceive, go through the process of pregnancy, and then bear Abram a son. She always desired to give to him. And the moment Hagar conceived, in the mind of Sarah, she knew she was the reason that Abraham could not have children. She was the reason that she could not bear children. It was not anything to do with Abraham. It was all on her. It says she despised Hagar. She despised herself. And Abraham didn't do a very good job of carrying that burden for her. He had a son now. And we're going to see later, if you'll see later on in the context, he looked at Ishmael and said, this is my promised child. He looked at this as the promised son. He did, until God came back and slapped him upside the head and said, no, this wasn't my workings. This wasn't my will. This is what I said for you to do. This was all you. Wonder why Sarai despised it so much. At that moment, it is clear the problem is not Abraham, but the problem is with her. Please get this. For husbands and wives this morning, please get this. It took all the stress in the childbearing off of Abraham and put it all on Sarai. Now she carried the entire burden. Please, friends, don't do that to each other. Don't let each other carry the burden by yourselves. Men, don't let your wife carry the burden all by herself. Oh, come on. Don't do it. I don't care what burden it is in your life, whether it's having children or whatever it is. Do not carry the burdens together. You are one flesh. Carry this burden. And while you may go through the baby blues at separate times, you should be carrying the burden all the time together. The truth is cemented. God's will be done God's way. Come on, or we create problems. So therefore, when I pray, it has to be, come on, when I pray to my God, it has to be, Lord, your will be done your way, or I will only create problems. Waiting for a child is like waiting for a wound to heal. It scabs over, but every time you mess with it, bump it, or it bothers you, it's a reminder that it's there. It's an open wound that's always there, friends. There's no other way for me to describe it. For my wife, she had the open wound, and I saw it hurt her. I saw it get opened up over and over and over and over again throughout the 18 years of waiting. Ladies, you are strong in the Lord. And if God has chosen you to wait for a great blessing from Him, then He will provide the strength you need to endure that waiting. He's got it. He's got the strength for you. We must cling to the Lord during any time of waiting, but especially when it's something, come on, when it's something we desire so much that it literally never leaves our mind. Every night when you go to bed, you're reminded of what you don't have. Every morning, you're reminded of what you don't have. Every time you come to church, you're reminded of what you don't have. Every time, it's a reminder. That leads us to the place of how do we deal with that in prayer. The constant place of a prayer is this: make your prayer towards the will of God alone. That's where your prayer must be alone. Look back at our text in the 113th Psalm. Back in our text this morning. My Bible's not turning very quick today for some reason. 113th Psalm. Make your prayer towards the will of God. Have a constant place of your prayer. The psalmist is pleading that no matter our situation, we continue to praise the Lord. Look at the very first verse there. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants, of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you get the idea? He's maybe trying to make a point here. Look in verse number 6. Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven. Come on. And in the earth. Exclamation point there, friend. There's supposed to be a driving home to that. That God is serious about this. Who are we supposed to praise? Our God alone. And Him. He is to be praised forever and ever and ever and ever. No matter what's going on in my life. No matter what I'm dealing with. No matter where I'm waiting or not. It doesn't matter. It says in verse number 3, literally from dawn to dusk, he's supposed to be praised. That pretty well covers every moment. Then it starts all over. From dusk to dawn, praise him. All night too. If you happen to be one of those night owls, I am not. If you happen to be one of those people, then good for you. Praise him all night too then. You know, his place is high above our place. And he beholds the whole of our world and the whole of time in a single moment. We can't fathom that, friends. He sees the whole of time in a moment. His ways are so lofty. Come on. But according to verse number 6, he is touched by the infirmities of our lives. He is touched by your waiting. Don't ever come to the place while waiting that you think God is not listening or does not care. I knew a couple many years ago that endured several miscarriages. And I literally watched this couple as they went through these things. And I'll be honest with you, they're part of this conference coming about because I think about them all the time. And it was through the miscarriages that I literally just watched the life drain out of them. The spiritual life just left them. Their heart looked like it just became a stone. When you come to the house of God and nothing, come on, nothing will move you. Because all you can think about is what you don't have and what you've been through and what you've endured. So it just literally makes you like a stone because your desire is not being met. How do you pray against that? How do you overcome that? I have no idea where that couple is. I hope they got it right and are still serving the Lord, and I hope they're still together. But we must humble ourselves before the God of heaven because he has a plan in place for everything. He's got this. I love that saying. He's got this. Now, the prayer of my wife and I was this, is we must pray to a God that has all the resources of the world. It's not such a simple statement. Of course God has all. He's the creator of everything. Of course he does. Unless I'm waiting on him to do something. And then that doesn't seem to be quite right. Because here's the problem. I can only see the avenues that are set before me. That's all I can see. I can only see the avenues of God giving us a child the way that he would choose to. I can only see God giving us the desire of my heart in the way that I see it happening. I can only see it by the way that I think I should pray about it. Oh, come on, friends. That's good. Oh, come on. I can only see about it. If I don't open myself up and say, God, I want you to lead my prayer life while I'm waiting, I will continue to pray the same prayer my entire life and will possibly miss the leading that God is trying to give to me. I'll miss it because I just look for it in the same exact place over and over and over, and before long, it becomes burdensome to me where I say this, well, you know, God's just never going to answer my prayer. Well, maybe I need to look for a different direction. Maybe I've got to pray as if the God of all of creation, the God who sees from eternity past to eternity future, the God who holds this entire world in his hands, may just have a plan for me that I can't see. kind of mind-blowing to think about. I can't see. Has anybody ever have anything happen to them they didn't see coming? I've had a few of those things happen. And God comes along and says, see. Sometimes he comes along and says, see, I got you through that and you didn't see it coming. Sometimes he comes along and says, hey, I was planning to bless you the entire time. I was here. I had no peace of mind. As we began to grow our prayer life, I had no peace of mind to pray one direction. So as we navigated the path that God chose for us, and we waited some 18 years for the children God would have us to have, our prayer life went through many twists and turns as we prayed. Our prayer was consistent. Lord, give us the child or children you want us to desire for us to have. But that was not our mentality at the beginning. Our mentality from the beginning was always to conceive and for Angela to bear our children. That was the desire. That's the way it's supposed to work. So that's what we're praying for. What we discovered was a God who has the universe at his disposal. Our prayer for children did not begin with pleading with God to bless us with children we desire to have. It began with trusting that God would just bless our marriage with children. No thought that we would not have them. And then it was, Lord, help us that we might find the solution that we need. That's where our prayer went to. Lord, help me find the solution. Because that's what men do. Lord, help me find the solution that I need. You know, there were many times we prayed, God, simply, we just don't understand this. My wife and I did not do everything correct as we navigated the long road of getting to the ultimate blessing God has for us. The perspective I developed over time was not to dwell on that which, the perspective that I developed over time was not to dwell on that which we did not have, but thank God for that which God had blessed us for. That's the place that God developed in me to pray for. Is not to only, not to only dwell on what we didn't have. That's a place of absolute destruction, friends. If you just dwell there, you will be destroyed by that. You will be completely overwhelmed by that. If you just pray and seek God about the things you don't have, because what's the psalmist say? Praise me. Praise your God. If you're only praying about the one thing you don't have, you're not doing much praising to God. You're not lifting him up. You're not praising him. The psalmist in the 113th psalm is praising the God of creation. He is humbled by the truth of an almighty God. And he says that in verses 1 through 5. And I think of those in waiting in verse number 6 as an example of a truth we must hold on to. Here God is highly exalted. Here God is highly exalted. Who am I to tell God what he should or should not do? He is far above me in excellency. To hear my cry, he has to first have a desire to do so. And he said, I will humble myself to hear whatever desire you have. That's good, friends. It's good. I humble myself to hear your cry. If God be willing to humble himself to listen to a cry of a poor sinner as I am, should I not consider my own humility as I pray? From the stature that God may have a plan of his own? Who am I to tell God there is only one plan that can be? That's not humility, friends. I hope your life will come before God with great humility. I often said this, when people would ask us the status of having children, as it developed over time and years went on, it started out with, when we tell people we didn't have children, well, you're still young, in our 20s, you're still young, you got plenty of time. And then our 30s, it was kind of like, well, you still got time. And then our mid-30s, you might want to start thinking about having kids, you might start thinking about this, not getting younger. And as that developed, what I always came back with was this, especially as people who didn't really know us, but ask us questions about these people at work or others who'd ask about this. People would ask, my response was often the same, to deflect from that which we did not have to that which we did have. I would often say, God has blessed my wife in so many ways, so many unbelievable ways. He has saved us. Praise the Lord. He has called me into the ministry. He has given us a home. He has chosen to withhold one blessing from my life. And how dare I stand up without humility and praise him for everything else he's given me? How dare I do that? But yet I did it. Because I looked at my wife and I thought, there's one thing she doesn't have. And God said, you still got to be humble to me. But God, you gave me this wife, and she has one desire that I can't find a solution for. Why wouldn't you do that for me? I hope your prayer life will come before God with great humility. My pastors often refer to our prayer life that it needs to be genuine and honest. Those are the two things every prayer life needs to be. We need not hold back from asking God for the desires of our hearts. He already knows what we're thinking anyways. So just tell him. Be honest with him. The humility comes when we can praise God for what he has done instead of focusing solely on that which he has not done. It doesn't come from a place of not, of praying, saying, God, we desire children, and that's the greatest desire of our lives at the moment, and I'm not going to hide that. I couldn't hide it from you if I wanted to. It's on my mind all the time. I'm not trying to hide that from you. Come on, but that does not displace my praise for you. Do you get that? If you got sick tomorrow, got a call from a doctor tomorrow and said you were sick, that would consume you. But that doesn't mean it has to take away your praise. It's no different than not having children. Just because I don't have what the one thing that God desire that I desire to have does not mean that I take and focus on that thing where it takes my praise away from my God. I can pray for both things. And I can praise him through those things. Let me tell you this, the testimony you have will bear that out from people who see you. They will see you praising God going through that difficult time. Whatever it is you're dealing with. They will see that and be moved by it. We need to pray with the understanding that we are praying to God. You know, waiting takes a toll on a husband and wife very differently. It is all right, men, that you desire children, as you should. As men, we tend to not want to add to the stress of our wife, so we might hold back on those things sometimes. And I never felt comfortable, and this is one of those things that I say I don't know if I did right. I can't say I would change it, but I don't know if I did it right. I literally look back and I don't know at this moment. But the prayer in my heart, I never prayed, at least once we got going in the whole infertility problem, we realized maybe this wasn't going to happen immediately. I never felt comfortable praying for my wife to conceive. So that's kind of how you get children. I get that. But that's not how you get children to take home with you from the hospital. I love Brother Casilla's message on he's got children at home. I love that message. God never laid it on my heart to pray for my wife to conceive. The prayer was always, give us the children you desire for us to have. Now, maybe if I had prayed, Lord, help my wife to conceive, maybe we would have conceived. And maybe we would have lost children, gone through that heartache. I don't know. God, if God would have chosen that, we would have dealt with that, and that would have been God's will, and that would have been fine. God didn't choose to do that. I don't know. But I never prayed that prayer. I just couldn't. It wasn't in me to pray that way. I'm not telling you what to pray, friends. I'm telling you how I got to the place I was. Pray however it is God leads you home. That was never a prayer I had in my life. My wife and I were open to adoption after a time of not having success conceiving. And you know what God did? He completely closed that door and never let us go for it. We thought about it. We researched it. I did a bunch of research on it. And I never felt right about it. We got going through the adoption process. My wife came home from work one day. Out of the blue, she came home from work, and it was just a normal day. And I remember I was standing in the kitchen, and my wife said, hey, my friend at work has a niece that is pregnant, and she's going to give him up for adoption. And she asked if we were interested. How calmly I just said that is how she said that to me. Almost with no emotion whatsoever. And I literally said, huh? I didn't have much emotion about it either. A couple days later, she comes home and she said, hey, I got the number for that girl. And she's expecting a phone call. I went, huh? We're actually going to have to do this. A couple days later, we called her and got to talk to her. We found out that day that she gave her the number, we found out she was pregnant with twins, a boy and a girl. Wife had always talked about having twins. We wanted to have four children. That was always our desire, was to have four children. And twins was right in that thing. We thought, hey, if we can do twins, that'd be great. The young lady opened up. This young lady opened up when we met her. They were our children. I can't explain it. We met her and we went out to dinner with her, and she's pregnant. She's got her son with her. She had a son as well, and she was giving these two up for adoption. She had a son. And I can remember sitting there and literally talking to her, and these were our kids already. This lady wasn't saved. She didn't know God. When you read in the Bible and you see where God takes the heart of a Nebuchadnezzar, takes the heart of some unsaved person and just twists it and turns it whatever he wants to do with it, that's the God of the universe, friends. Where God can do, you know, we think we're so out of control in this world. We think that our world is governed by the leaders of our nation. It's not, friends. It's governed by God himself. The God of the universe took this young lady's heart and literally put it in there that we were the parents of these two children. I can't explain it. We went down about a week later and went to her appointment with her to go see the sonogram, see everything, check on the kids, how they were doing. And she invited us, and we walked into the room to get things. And when she introduced it, these are the parents to the babies. Literally introduced us to all the doctors that way. Anything they want to know, let them know. Let them see any scans, let them have any information. These are their kids. We hadn't even said yes yet. June 14th was the day we found out about them. June 28th was the day they were born. 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, they came home. In 1 month, God wiped away 18 years. Like that. I can remember walking into the hospital. We got a phone call. We got a phone call that our children were born, or going to be born. I have to tell you about this some other time. I have time for it. But our children were going to be born, and we drove. I may have broken a couple speed limits on the way to Springfield. God forgive me, but may have broken a few speed limits there, getting down there. And I still remember this day. I'll never forget walking in and seeing my daughter. I can show you a picture sometime. It was awful. She had tubes running all in her. And I still remember this day, that young girl, that little baby, looking right in my eyes. And I went, that's my little girl. 18 years, like that. The God of the universe, I said last night, dropped two children out of heaven and dropped them right into our life, and I can't explain any other way than that. I really can't. I put my pastor through quite a time during that time because I didn't let him tell anybody. He called me about every day. Can I tell everybody now? You're killing me. I said, no, not yet. I said, give me a little time to make sure this thing's going to go through. But God knew the entire time, friends. God knew. Assume the place of confidence before your God. Humility brings us to our need to confess we must have God. Knowledge that God cares places our affections with God. There's an acknowledgement and there's a confession that I need God. Place your affections on the place above. Everything you do to conceive or bring the child into your life that God desires should be prayed through. You may find solutions to your problem the world gives you. Pray about every one of them. They're only solutions if God makes it a solution. Keep in mind that God knows how hard this is. Look in verse number 9 there. He maketh a barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. The fact that God highlights how hard it is for a woman to wait shows just how emotional and trying this journey is. In verse number 7, it says this. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. I think the only way I can describe this for you from man's perspective, I was praying about this week, trying to figure out how do I explain this from the man's perspective. I think as hard as it is for a woman to wait for children, and the only way I can describe this is the way God says it here, is if you couldn't feed your children, men, If you could not feed your children, can you imagine the heartache that would be? Mm-hmm. Going home at night and your children are, yeah, Dad, what's for dinner? And looking at it and saying, I don't know. I don't know. I got nothing to give you. I have nothing. Can you imagine the pain of that? Mm-hmm. What would we do? Go find a solution. Hopefully we would anyways. That level of pain. I can't imagine going home and my little kids, my son and daughter running up to me saying, Daddy, what are we having for dinner? And saying, nothing. He raised the poor out of the dust and lifted the needy out of the dunghill. Come on, men. You want to know what it's like for your daughter, for your wife waiting for the children she desires? Imagine that. Try to get your mind around that. Try imagining praising God. Come on. Try imagining praising God when you have absolutely no food and absolutely no way to prepare for your children. Try to get that in your head. And the psalmist says, praise God through it. That's exactly how hard it is for your wife to praise God while she's waiting. You may not experience it like that, but that's what her emotions are doing to her. Encourage yourself. Encourage yourself in that God can do all things. You read the courage of those in scriptures that show us how to do these things. Lean upon the blessings that God has all things in his power to bless you. And don't limit him in your prayer with his full understanding that God will bless you when he desires. Learn to listen to the testimonies of those who have gone before you from the speakers of this conference. Ladies, talk to the wives of the speakers that have spoken at this conference and say, hey, how can I help with this? Speak to the wives of this conference. Ladies, if you've never dealt with this, but you know people who have, talk to the ladies that are in this conference that are speakers and the wives of us and say this, how can I help those around me? If you're going through this, lean upon those ladies. Lean upon them. How can I get through this? How can I pray? They have been where you are right now. They have endured, I just don't understand. They've endured that. They've endured, I am not sure this is ever going to happen for me. They've endured that. You're not alone. But this is the truth, friend. We must learn humility. We must humble ourselves before the God who knows all things and learn to pray and seek his face and to dwell that he is the God of right now. This morning, I know there are many in this room and listening to this conference online and via audio later on, they're dealing with the issues that we are striving to highlight in this conference. But in the end, the answer to all our problems is the person of Jesus Christ himself. That's it. He's the answer to all your problems. It is he that we cling to in the time of doubt and dismay. It is him that we are reminded of how blessed we are. That we, just because we don't have everything we desire at the moment, we are still so blessed. This is certainly not a salvation message. But you may be wondering this morning, how can anyone endure such waiting and still be confident? The answer is you can't. You must have a belief in something far greater than yourself. You must know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. You must have the confidence of eternal salvation. If you're not sure of your salvation, contact somebody. Contact one of us. Get that assurance. If you have children and maybe never experienced a troubling conception or endured a miscarriage, then you should praise the Lord. Let us humble ourselves before God this morning. Allow him to have control. I didn't do that in the beginning of our troubles conceiving. I wanted to find a solution to make my wife's dreams come true. But the truth is, God showed me he is the solution to all of my problems. Oh, come on, friends. Oh, come on. As men, we look for solutions. God says, praise me. I am the solution. But I don't see a solution, God. Yeah, you do. Do you see me? The only reason we don't see him is we take our eyes off of him. Keep our eyes off him, the solution's already there. For my wife and I, if my wife and I could trust him with our eternal salvations, we could surely trust him with the dreams of being parents. For us to choose adoption as a way to give us a child he desired, I can tell you today I would not have it any other way. But that has not stopped me from praying to God that he would give us children that he desired for us to have. Because that's our prayer. God, this was our prayer the entire process, and I'm done. You give us the children you desire us to have. That's all we want. I didn't come to that prayer overnight, friends. That was a genuine, heartfelt prayer for years from my wife and I. Lord, you just give us the children you desire to have. We'll serve you whether you ever give them to us or not. Wherever they come from, whatever choice you make, whatever we have to endure, you just give us the children you desire to have. And if you choose not to do that, then we'll live with that. That's not our prayer, but we'll live with that. Humbly pursue the desire of your heart. Allow your life to be led by the directing hand of God. This road you are on is long and winding, but my, how good God is. How good it is to follow a God that is touched by all of our infirmities and knows what it's like to carry a burden such as a desire for children. Keep praying. Keep yourself confident in the Lord. Renew your faith in a God that has the universe at his disposal. And please, as a couple, please, I'm done. Please, as a couple, lift each other up in prayer every single day. Pastors who might be listening to this or friends who have these, lift them up in prayer. Pray for them. Effectual prayer for them. Lift them up in prayer as they deal with these things. Best thing you can do. I know it seems almost contrite to just say I'm praying for you. You have no idea what that means. If you're legitimately doing it, that can be everything. Just knowing your friends and your family and your pastors praying for you, that is everything. That can carry you through so many things. When your wife is somewhere and you're somewhere and she knows that you're praying for her because she has this desire, it means everything. You just keep praying. And you just pray, come on, you just pray, God give you the children that he desires because you don't want them any other way. You just want what God desires. Let's pray.